When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we are live. Welcome back. Ooh, voice not back. Blake feels better from the flu, but voice not really back.
You don't sound that bad for as what I was anticipating. And I think that some of our listeners who were paying attention on Twitter, you were very sick over the weekend. I was kind of expecting when we hopped in here, it was going to be a pretty tough, tough sledding for the show today. But you're fighting through it. It seems like you're doing pretty well right now.
Yeah, feeling okay. I mean, kids, not so much. Wife, not so much. But feel better, you know. Was quote tweeting sex bots on X.
You know? I said that to my buddy Sean. I was recording with him when I said that to him, and he thought that was hilarious. The times that you've done that, I thought that is so goddamn funny.
I mean,
I appreciate that.
Because it's always like anytime I see him, because I don't really check notifications unless I'm like bored,
right?
You know, but you know, like these sex bots on Twitter, like, dude.
And they're always relentless.
Like, it's always like, you want to come get a piece of this? And she, like, I'm like, no. And then like, no, I have the flu, you know, like I don't feel too good, you know? Nevertheless, it's been a very interesting last couple of days, Joe. I've had a lot of time to read. I've had a lot of time to think because I've had some downtime. Mm-hmm. And might have been for the best, because just being able to think and read and really think about where we're in the direction of and going with college football. And we'll talk about this today. It looks like the SEC and the Big Ten are going to be coming together in what you called and what we'll probably call it as some form of super league. But this stemming off of what feels to be the Tennessee stuff, right? Like this.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, which is why I tweeted this morning, like, hey, hold on just a minute now. Okay, can we just hold on? I know the NCAA, and we had these conversations before. Mm-hmm. Okay. What if they're guilty? Like, hey, what if they're guilty?
I appreciate that. The second that you've regained energy, you're immediately causing problems. I mean, that's the most fitting thing that you've done. I understand, but that's not what the issue was. If they were guilty of the accusation, the problem was the fact that the NCAA moving the goalposts in order to regain any footing or power. But you're absolutely right. When we talk about this, I want to bring this part up. The timing is critical. The timing is important for understanding
1,000%.
What the advisory committee means. This happening in light of the Florida and Tennessee situations is a blatant call out to the fact they're trying to leave. They're trying to separate. They didn't say it outright, but that doesn't come immediately after what just happened with the lawsuits, all of the countersuits and statements from the NCAA in Tennessee. That shit doesn't happen if there's no intention to try and move on and create their own college football entity. It's coming. It's the craziest thing. We've talked about it, and now we're getting it.
All I'm going to say is, I don't like the NCAA like a lot of people. You can't go out there without a third-party entity being an enforcement. You can't allow the conferences to dictate enforcement because they won't do it. And if they do it, it's gonna look just as unfair, because Joe, what's gonna happen? Let me ask you this question: what's gonna happen when Auburn gets popped with something and Alabama doesn't? What's gonna happen when Michigan gets popped with something and Ohio State doesn't? My only point in all of this is, okay, and we'll talk about this. All right. I understand what the Big Ten and what the SEC is trying to do. Doesn't make what Michigan did any less serious. Doesn't make what Tennessee has done any less serious. Joe, so we found out this weekend that Nico Iamaivea, okay, had not signed with the Spire Group before he got on that plane. Like, we know that now, okay?
Yeah.
So, recruiting, level one recruiting violation.
Okay, but for what you're saying here, and I know we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. Talking about this. You're bringing up this new entity maybe not governing as effectively as it could, because it's not the NCAA. It has the interest in the teams being on the field and not being held off the field. A lot of the stuff that arguably would be eventually legal in this new league is all the NIL recruiting related stuff that's getting punished right now.
So do you want regulation or do you not?
I do want regulation, but
let me just tell you, you can't be mad when someone says, okay, look, we're looking into this. You can't be, you can't have it both ways. You can't have your cake
regulation that comes in would likely come into play would enable a collective bargaining agreement and would eventually lead to some form of salary
to clear some of this stuff up. I don't have a problem with the NIL stuff with Nico or Florida.
Okay.
That doesn't bother me. And we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. So yeah. I'm just going to say this before we get rolling on that. You know what bothers me? Did they cheat? I mean, again, did they cheat? That's all I want to know.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, I don't want to rehash that.
In a way, we kind of have to, because this is what sparked it. This is when it was released. All right. So we'll talk about the new Super League or the, what did they call it, Joe?
Advisory Committee.
The Advisory Committee. You know, the last time that somebody put a advisory committee together, you know what they called it, right?
What?
The Alliance. Remember the Alliance last all season?
Oh, wait. That was two off seasons ago. That wasn't an advisory committee. That was the defunct, then there was no plan to it. It was just like, hey, we're going to hold hands together and stand in a circle. That was what that was. And the Pac-12 got smoked. That's what led to it.
True. All right. So we'll talk about that. Also, Kentucky football's Liam Cohen is headed to Tampa, back to the NFL. UCLA's Chip Kelly, is he trying to get an NFL OC job? Also, Joe, we'll talk in there, Ryan Grubb, and it looks like USC assistant Cliff Kingsbury could be heading to the Commanders.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of movement going on. It feels like more than ever, a lot of these college guys are, maybe it's just being covered more, but it feels like a lot of these college guys are taking opportunities for coordinator or position coach roles in the NFL. I don't think the discussion we're going to have today is going to be like the one that we had with Jeff Hafley, but a lot of interesting names and movement that are going on, especially if Grubb ends up going to the Seahawks.
I would laugh so hard.
I would too. Okay. We'll get to that.
All right, we'll get to that as well. Jonathan Smith's first-year expectations, Joe, leaves Oregon State, heads to Michigan State. We'll talk about him. I don't really have a lot of expectations for him year one. I got to be honest. I really don't.
They got an easy schedule. They're not going to win 9 football games. But, man, outside of 4, they got a pretty easy schedule. But we'll dive into that. But they might be better than people think that they're going to be in 2024.
Yeah, I need to see that before that. Okay, let's get rolling. Everybody, do us a favor by hitting the like and share to all the social media groups. If you're on Facebook, guys, you continue to help us out on Facebook. Do us a favor if you haven't done so already. Like the page, share to those groups, share to your own social media pages. If you're watching us, listening to us on YouTube, like, subscribe. And notification bell wherever you're listening to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. If you're watching us on Caffeine TV, do us a favor and follow us as well. Joe, we don't have any time to waste. The Football Alliance, no, it's not the Alliance, Advisory Committee. We got to discuss it. We do that next.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, events, with the first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews for all the news for each league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, college sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information for live, in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today and use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BELIEVE50, BLEAV50, to receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline.ag, BetOnline.ag.
We're back!
Pat Mahomes Sr.'s liver isn't. All right.
Jesus.
I mean, can we not make the joke? I mean, everybody on social media is talking about it.
I mean, I'm kind of rooting for him. I think that's, I mean, that's the energy that the Chiefs need going. It's too Taylor Swift-y. I'm kind of hyped that something like that happened. I mean, it's DWI.
Well, here's the thing. You can't have like three or four of them. That's a bit upset.
Oh, is he up to that many?
Yeah, he's like in his fourth.
Oh, never mind. Yeah. I was kind of joking around, but that's a problem.
Yeah, very much a problem. Okay. So, Joe, on Friday, the SEC and the Big Ten came with a joint statement in reference to coming together for what they call the advisory committee. Now, this coming after Florida and Tennessee getting popped with, I guess you'll call it, not really popped with, but it was leaked that the NCAA was investigating Florida and Tennessee for NIL infractions. Joe, I don't have a problem with the two strongest conferences joining together and trying to find a way to get, number one, regulation, okay, and number two, get college athletics and college football on the right path. Here's the problem that I have with it, though. I am not a fan, okay, of the NCAA. I'm not a fan of how they go about things. But I'm also not naive enough to think that if you give the conferences all the power, maybe is the way I should say it here. Joe, if you think it's the Wild West right now, what do you think it's going to happen if the conferences are running things? Because let me just tell you, do you really think Greg Sankey, do you really think Tony Petitti, it took him a year and a day to come down on the Harbaugh stuff. I mean, he had the blatant, Joe, he waited the entire week when all the Michigan stuff came down.
Wait, but
he didn't suspend him until he was in the air. He cowered it down. He suspended Harbaugh when he was in the air. But and they're on their flight to, what was it, Maryland?
He still did hand down a punishment, though. Many were saying that they shouldn't punish him until after the season. And he was willing to put. This is the part where I don't agree with you. And
yeah,
so,
but
first of all,
could he have not done it on a Tuesday? He had to wait till he was in the air to do it?
Look, first of all, yes, this is a pretty clear indicator that we're going to end up, this might lead to them separating from the NCAA to create a larger,
at least
separate
football
entity.
Football-wise.
Yes, yeah, so it appears to be specifically football-directed. There was no mention of the NCAA in this happening. It was just the two of them working together. It was completely out of the nowhere, out of the blue. And these two conferences have never worked together, really. I mean, think of it also this way, too. They also don't even really schedule a lot of opponents amongst the conferences that often. It's not a frequent thing.
I think Alabama goes to Wisconsin this year, don't they?
They do. It's like the first time it feels like, not the first time, but this upcoming season, there's a lot more of it. But in the past, there hasn't been a ton of it. So for them to combine their attention and resources on this tells me a lot, that they're going to use this as a way of not making it messier than it needs to be, being public about it and communicating, and then coming to the conclusion, oh, this might be a better idea for us to separate. That ultimately is probably going to be what the conclusion is. But what I actually disagree with you on is I think that it actually becomes easier to hold teams accountable when there's less of them and when there's two sides that are managing their own teams. I think where the NCAA constantly gets themselves in trouble is, one, they haven't taken the time to create the rules, which has led to the mess that happened with Tennessee. And two, there's so many teams that they move at a ridiculously sluggish pace. I don't totally agree that Greg Sankey is going to have unbiased favoritism when he's handing down punishments. I don't think that's the case.
I completely disagree because we've seen him do it before. I mean, Joe, I read his statement, okay, and I have it here if we need to pull it up just in case. But, Joe, in the last sentence that the SEC released, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey said, "We do not have predetermined answers to the myriad questions that are facing us. We do not expect to agree on everything, but enhancing interaction between our conferences will help us focus on efforts for common sense solutions." Here's the problem I have, though, okay? What's the common sense solution of Nico Iamaivea being on a plane when he's not signed to the NIL group?
The common sense solution is encompassing that and allowing for that to be a part of NIL and recruiting.
Okay. Well, hold on one second. Then you have to change the rule in saying that that's not a recruiting violation. Let me give you another example. I've been thinking about this all weekend. Joe, we're going to be in a dead period on Monday, right? Coaches yes. can't go out and visit. They can't call players. So wait a minute. You have specific dead periods for coaches. Well, I get it that they need them because sometimes coaches just need breaks. I fully get that. I'm not saying not to. But you mean to tell me, okay, that you have to have dead periods where coaches aren't allowed to talk to players, coaches aren't allowed to be around practices, or they're not allowed to watch training or weightlifting or any of those kinds of things. But my God, yeah, he can be on a plane and Nico Iamaivea can be on his way to Knoxville.
But the whole point of all this is for them to put together a new set of rules.
That's not NIL. What I'm saying, though,
the whole point of all of this is for them to create new rules where everything can logically, cohesively work together so that all of these things can line up. I don't understand what's wrong with if eventually there's a collective bargaining agreement and there's salaries with extended periods of time that players have to remain at schools to limit the capability of tampering.
Because there's not one right now, and it's not an equal playing field. You can't say that. I agree with you that we should go in that direction.
But the whole point of them doing this is to go in that direction.
But they don't have it now. What I'm saying is, okay, no, they're not going in that direction. You know why? Because Greg Sankey was on Capitol Hill saying that the universities have no business paying athletes and doesn't want them to make them employees. Greg Sankey can't walk his ass up to Capitol Hill and say that we don't want a collective bargaining agreement and then turn right around and make an advisory committee and say that now he wants one because two of his biggest universities are getting investigated with something.
They're inevitably going to have to concede that, though. They're going to have – that is, at the end of the day, the biggest issue right now that is plaguing this is all tied to the payments going to kids, it being undocumented, unregulated, all of that shit. There should be. I think that the way that they could really fix this is if there is a bargaining agreement and if – players are on two-year contracts, and at the end of those 2 years, they can choose to transfer or if they can choose to stay if they want to. But he is going to have to concede that. That needs to be the purpose of all this. That's the root of all the problems, is that there is free agency and at any moment that a player wants to leave, and that doesn't happen in any other major sport at all.
Joe, what is NIL?
Name, image, and likeness.
Is what's going on right now name, image, and likeness?
No, that's why it needs to just be player contracts, and we need to remove the name, image, and likeness.
So, part about it. Again, I can't believe I have to be the one. Let me tell you what I feel like. I do feel like that I'm on an island, okay? And just asking the question, okay, I think we all agree with this. The NCAA sucks. We agree.
Yeah.
Okay, like none of us are disagreeing. The problem that I have with it is, okay, can we also come to the conclusion of, hey, that's not NIL though. You bringing that kid to Knoxville in a private jet is not name, image, and likeness. It's pay for play. Okay, and right now, we do not have a collective bargaining agreement. Joe.
That's true. Yes,
there's no medical question.
Okay.
Did they go get that kid to try to get him to play for Tennessee? Is it pay for play or not? I mean, let's cut through the bullshit and cut all the bullshit around us. It's pay for play.
It's pay for play. And that's the whole point of the advisory committee is so that eventually we can just legalize pay for play and then ignore all of this backwards.
Then why do you have
bullshit?
Greg Sankey on Capitol Hill saying that he doesn't want it?
Just because he believes that doesn't mean that we won't go in that direction.
That's true. And look, one thing that I'll agree on, you and I have been standing on this for a long time. Look, our buddy Josh Pate, who will be on the show with, you know, at some point here, okay, he came up with a solution. If you use $4 million for 80, if you paid 85 scholarship players $50,000, it's like $4 million plus, like $4.25 million.
Okay. Yeah, it's not as much as people think.
You're getting $65 million in a TV contract. My point here is don't try to spin to me, okay? Them going to get Nico from California on a private jet isn't pay for play. Don't tell me that Jaden Rashada, okay, isn't pay for play. And let me throw this out here to you too. Everybody's mad that the NCAA allegedly, come on, they leaked it to Pat Forty. They leaked this story.
Yes, they did.
The investigations to Pat Forty.
They did.
Well, I have a question. Who was leaking the money stuff about Nico and Jaden Rashada to the media?
Probably opposing coaching staffs. If I were to guess.
It makes it no different. Okay? So you mean to tell me that coaches, administrators, commissioners, everybody else can leak shit, but my God, when NCAA does it, it's really bad. No, they don't like the NCAA. The NCAA effed up. They could have ended all of this. They could have, in the beginning of all of this, had things structured and in place to where college athletics could have been on a good and narrow path. They missed that window. But they missed that window 5, 6, 7 years ago when the first O'Bannon case literally won in court, okay? They didn't do anything until it got to the Supreme Court and O'Bannon won the fifth time. My only point in all of this is, Joe, I do think there are two things. Even if there's a collective bargaining agreement, there still has to be a third-party entity for recruiting violations. Because, Joe, let me tell you what's a collective bargaining agreement's not going to stop. You ready? What was happening before NIL was a thing? Players were been getting paid well before
this was
even happening. You're still going to need, in my opinion, okay, and we can clip this part. Joe, let me ask you the hypothetical question. Say the NCAA is no more. Who will be a non-biased third-party entity that should run college athletics then or college sports?
Well, okay.
I need somebody.
I think at the end of the day, the NCAA is never going to completely disappear. What is the most likely outcome out of all of this is that the Big Ten and the SEC pull their football teams and then a couple stragglers from other conferences to form a 40-plus team football separate subdivision. All of those other schools' sports programs are going to stay where they are and be a part of the NCAA. The NCAA is going to have more than enough money to operate and run, maybe on a slightly smaller scale. That's going to be completely the same. I just think at the end of the day, what I feel like is going to happen here is that they're going to come together with solutions. They're going to try to present it to the NCAA. The NCAA is going to feel disenfranchised by the fact that they weren't involved in this advisory committee, and they have no right to say, yes, we're going to adhere to this. That is going to probably end up leading to this separation. And if it does end up leading to that separation, all of those other sports can remain a part of the NCAA. But to what you're talking about here, having, like, I think that's the whole point of the advisory committee, is to literally sit and talk through all of these details. I don't disagree with you. Yeah, they probably should have an unbiased investigative wing that handles the new rules that are in place. And the most important rules are going to be the recruiting ones and making sure that guys stay in school for the time period that they're signed to stay for, whatever ends up coming of that.
It's not just recruiting. It's academics. It's drug policy. It's so many other things. Well,
the NFL has their own investigative legal department. They also have
32 teams, okay, and far less player personnel that they have to govern. Okay, like, everybody talks. Joe, come on.
There's 34 teams amongst the two teams or the two conferences.
Okay,
right now.
So with that alone, okay, literally, there's more players and coaches, okay, combined in the Big Ten and the SEC than the entire NFL.
I just think you're making an assumption that they couldn't put together a team that's responsible.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the NFL has a structure, okay?
Okay.
But college football is something completely different because, again, you got to worry about academics. You have to worry about recruiting. There's so many different levels to this.
Do these schools not already have compliance officers? Like,
sure, but schools having compliance officers, things get missed all the time. You want me to tell you an example? We just talked about it in our last show. You ready? You ready?
What?
Kayshawn Booty.
I just don't know why you're like assuming that just because this goes into a separate league that they're just going to be like, oh, shucks, we're not going to have anybody who's regulating it. You guys can just do whatever the hell you want.
Here's my fear. You ready? I don't have any faith whatsoever, okay, that Greg Sankey or Tony Battiti, when it came to nut-cutting time, would really pull a trigger on any of these universities and hit them worth a damn. Okay, because here's the truth. Whether you like it or not, whether NIL is true or not, or the collectives are true or not, whatever all of this comes down to, this starts because, okay, of Nico Iamaivea. This is where this starts because they released it for a reason. They did this for a reason. They had talks. They released it at this time for a reason. Joe, here's the bottom line. They paid to play for the kid. They paid him to go to Knoxville.
Okay,
Can I land?
Go ahead.
A Knoxville group paid for a kid to go there. I don't care about that. That's not my point. But there has to be guidelines to where things like that don't happen. You know where it doesn't happen? You brought up the NFL. Did you not?
Yes.
No. Why is
they're on contracts?
No, there's things called tampering. Remember in the NFL, everything has to be announced. Like when you're interviewing somebody, okay, you have to announce that you're done with an interview or you're interviewing somebody.
Yes. Okay. Well, those things should be added. Those things all should be added. I'm not disagreeing with that. They need to have a little bit more decorum in organization with how they handle things. But that was why I suggested, I think that I don't even know if anyone's even considered doing that. Players should sign 2-year contracts. When you come in for your first 2 years, you should have to stay for the first 2 years, and then you renegotiate at the end of that contract.
But what happens for kids that are juniors and seniors?
What do you mean if what happens? You're there, your first contract is for when you're a freshman and a sophomore or a redshirt freshman.
The reason I say that very quickly. Remember the two-time transfer rule that just got passed?
Yeah.
Okay. A federal court judge in West Virginia deemed it unconstitutional that you can't tell a college player or a person where they can and cannot transfer.
Because of the antitrust law, though, was where that was derived from, because the NCAA is the only entity that made that rule. But now there's two entities that are making those rules. And there's still going to be G5 football. So if the player wants to transfer to one of those teams, they can.
The rule. I mean, there's no
the new conference is making the rule. The new conference can make the rule.
Between the SEC and the Big Ten, there's still no collective bargaining agreement.
I'm speaking in the future. I'm speaking that, like, when this thing lands and this comes together, there is going to be a collective bargaining agreement.
What's
There's going to be contracts for these players.
But we're not there yet.
I understand we're not there, but I'm trying to project what this leads to. That's what I'm more like. I'm mostly focused
on. Can I
tell
you something? I don't think we get there.
I disagree. I don't think any of us thought that we were ever going to. We have speculated on this show a million times over, and on any college football show you listen to, they speculate. Are we going to get to two conferences? Are we going to get to just the SEC and the Big Ten? Is this going to take a decade? And this is the first time, after all the conspiracy theories, that both of the entities that we speculated were going to do this announced that they were working together to fix college football. We're getting this. This is going to happen.
All right, let me throw a hypothetical your way.
Okay.
You know what my favorite topic is that we talk about on this show. What is it?
What?
Realignment.
Okay.
It's a reason that the Big 12, okay, yes, I loathe it. There's a reason that the Big 12 and the ACC were left out of this.
Yeah, they have no incentive. None of the good teams are remaining in the Big 12. There's maybe a couple, and then there's the one couple teams in the ACC that would be worth taking or considering leaving. So there's a reason why they're not involved in this.
Okay, so let me double down on that question. Does this show that we're about to have another form of conference realignments here?
I think at the end of the day, if this does go through, they do separate, they do end up putting to an NFC-AFC type of playing field, which is what would make the most sense, they would probably have the ability to pay off and pull Florida State, Miami. Notre Dame would probably come along the way too. I think that would also be the case here. I mean, why would any of the – I think most of the Big 12 and ACC schools that don't have rich alumni bases or large athletic departments with a lot of funding, I think a lot of them are just going to be content sticking around in their conferences, and we're just going to have a bunch of G5 conferences. The Big 12 would become G5. The ACC would become G5. It's the only logical thing I can think of.
Here's the problem I have. We've let ESPN, Fox, CBS run amok. And it's a shame. Honestly, it's a shame.
I don't think that it's a bad thing that we could potentially have a better, more organized product.
No, I'm not saying that. No, that's not what I'm saying. I agree with you. I think it'd be... What I'm saying is that they came in here with a whole bunch of money and did whatever they wanted to.
Yeah.
And because you didn't have a commissioner, I'm going to call it what it is. Because you didn't have a commissioner and nobody that could say, no, you're not going to do that. Okay. College athletics, ESPN, Fox, CBS are doing whatever they want. Joe, you literally have the ACC on the CW. You have games on the CW. Okay, you know why? Because ESPN is lobbying these games out to show who's got the power. You know, I feel like the executives at ESPN and CBS are like, hey, bro, watch this. I'm going to put Syracuse and Duke on the CW. And they're laughing about it. It drives me insane. I don't care who wants to go what conference. Who makes what money, doesn't bother me, okay? The only problem I have is here, I think that we've allowed TV companies to run the show, and that's a little bit of a shame. Well, I do agree with you on one thing.
Okay.
It's inevitable. I mean, it simply is. I'm not, Joe, I got to be real with you. I'm not going to be shocked on us just having two conferences, you know. I just got done watching the Pro Bowl, NFC, AFC. Here it comes to college athletics. And I kind of feel like it's dumb. You know, I'm old enough to remember when conference pride was a thing. You know, like this, for example, the Big 12 had a lot of conference pride in basketball. The SEC had a lot of conference pride in football. Okay. The Big 10 had conference pride fencing. I don't know what the Big 10 has. It's a joke. I'm joking.
Hockey. Okay. Hockey.
Hockey. All right. A long time. ACC, they have a long standing college baseball tradition. All right. By the way, rest in peace, Mike Martin from Florida State. Yep. All I'm saying here is it feels to me that what we knew growing up is dead. It's over. And yes, it pisses me off, but that's not on the NCAA. You know, what's one thing that we don't talk about, okay, is who's to blame for all of the schools doing what they're doing? You know, it's crazy to me because we talk about NIL, we talk about the portal. Nobody's saying a damn word about Florida State throwing a hissy fit because they're not making more money. Why?
Because I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I mean, I think that
it's the same kind of thing. You have players not making the money that they should be making, okay? But the player looks bad. It's like the Joker line from The Dark Knight. One little mayor's going to die, and everybody loses their minds.
But wait, but that's
a good Joker.
Yeah, actually, it was pretty good. That was a pretty good. Wait, who's the actor?
Heath Ledger.
Who's the actor? Heath Ledger. I think that's actually one of the things that's really plagued college football over the past, like, two decades in particular, and then over the past 5 years with NIL and these conferences realigning. For some reason, there's this notion that, like, what you're talking about, this desire to want and aspire for more, for a team to want to be in a more competitive playing field, to make more money from their TV contracts, to be able to produce and have better product on the field, and to be able to win a national championship, to be able to recruit better. And then for these athletes, for them to aspire to be able to make money, for them to be able to get money for, and to leave, to go to another school, to get on the field and to make money. For some reason, it's villainized. And like you just brought it up with Florida State, it's been villainized. A lot of people have said, outside of Florida State fans and some supporters of their decision-making like myself, it has been villainized. A lot of people, and especially ACC fans, have painted them as selfish. And same thing with the players. Anyone, what would you have called the USC move? A lot of people, or not you, but like a lot of people were calling USC the initial ones that started all this as a selfish decision. For them to try and play a schedule from all the way in Los Angeles to the middle of the country because they were seeking a better TV deal. And I think it's dumb. I really don't understand why it's villainized. I don't think it's a bad thing that we have to make these changes, that we have to make these moves forward. And whoever was behind that decision-making, we could sit here and make conspiracy theories about it because we're not in those rooms. We don't
decision. Who made the decision?
I think it's more than just the TV networks. I think it's a lot more than that.
Who do you think it is? Who's the deep?
I think that there's administrators that are involved in this. I think that the conference commissioners have a lot of say and sway in all this. Because one thing that's not talked about, by the way, is that a lot of these networks have priced themselves out of being able to afford the TV deals. Like, we're getting to a point where they're becoming so expensive, and I know this for a fact from knowing people that work in this industry, that it is literally becoming impossible for ESPN and Disney to afford the NBA rights. And we're about to get to that point with college football because there's so many different products out there. But again, my main point with all this is I just think that to assume that it's selfish and a villainous activity to want more, it's dumb to me.
I don't mind that. You signed a contract.
Yeah, I'm not saying that you're one of those people. I'm just saying in general. I mean,
they signed a contract though. I'm not mad at Florida State. I'm also, you should have known the details in your contract before you signed them. You always
When they signed it, that was so long ago. That contract was a long contract. You're still
making more money than them, even then. Don't sign a 20-year deal.
Well, that was really
okay.
Dumb.
It's stupid. Yeah, like I mean, Joe, you and I as a show. Okay, we read our contracts before we sign them.
How long is the Big Ten one?
10 years.
Like, that makes more sense. Right. But that's the whole point here, is that the 20-year ones, it completely digs yourself into a hole because you're just getting blown. There's going to have been opportunity for multiple re-ups on multiple contracts by the time the ACC's is up.
No doubt. Very quickly before we move on. Okay. Because we spent a lot of time.
Shit.
I know. But it's not, Joe, we had.
It's so complex.
It's so complex. We don't have a choice. Okay. Now, Ross Dellinger said that he spoke with both SEC and Big Ten commissioners for the first time to express their doubts on the commitment of college football's playoff future if they don't get the get-right issues. I don't know what that means. But he said there's a meeting in Dallas on Monday and Tuesday for key talks on the future format and revenue sharing. So, there you go. We might finally get to schools having to come off a little bit of that money there. Okay. So, Joe, want to move into Liam Cohen, UCLA, yep. Chip Kelly, and Ryan Grubb?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, let's talk about our good friends over at Homefield Apparel. Let's reset. We'll come back. Some coaching moves that are being made. We talk about those next.
Rufino and Joe Show is brought to you by Homefield Apparel, which is the best, without a doubt, premium collegiate apparel brand that is out there. They have over 150 different colleges that you can choose from, whether you're an Illinois fan or a Rutgers fan, maybe you're an LSU fan like Blake, or maybe you're an Alabama fan, whatever it is, even Idaho. They have so many different designs for so many different football programs that I can guarantee you're going to find some great stuff to help root for your favorite team. I've already gotten my Notre Dame stuff. Blake has his LSU stuff. Make sure you head on over to homefieldapparel.com to check out your team's collection of clothing apparel that they have on the website. And when you do so, when you check out, make sure you use promo code RufinoJoe to get 15% off your order. That is RufinoJoe, RufinoJoe. Head on over to homefieldapparel.com and get your college gear today.
I was going to come up with something.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's all-purpose cleaner cleans and kills 99.9% of viruses and bacteria. It can be used on hard, non-porous surfaces like the kitchen, bathroom, and other areas in your home. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Something witty, but I got brain fog, so I
can't do nothing. Yeah, you're excused.
By the way, did you see this thing, Caleb Williams not wanting to go to the Bears? Is it a foregone conclusion that he's going to go to the Bears?
Yeah, yes. That sourcing is extremely incorrect. It's not.
But his dad was in an interview saying it, right?
I don't know if it was that. Well, okay, there's been a couple. One of them was coming from one of those stupid Twitter aggregators. And then the other one, there's this idiot, Danny Kelly or whatever the hell. No, not Danny Kelly. I forget what his name is. There's this idiot. It's like first round mock draft on Twitter. And he's a former NFL scout. And he's been pushing that narrative on Caleb Williams and stuff that he's not going to go to the Bears. I don't believe it. He's going to go to the Bears. He's going to be the Bears pick.
So where's Justin Fields go?
Maybe the Falcons? Mm-hmm. Falcons need a quarterback.
Maybe.
It's cheaper to get Justin Fields for a second than it would be to trade up to get Jaden Daniels. Which they should do. I would do the Jaden Daniels move.
Yes, go with Justin Fields. I cannot take Jaden Daniels on an opposing NFC South team. Okay. So, Joe, Liam Cohen, Kentucky's offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen is heading back to the NFL. This time he's going to Tampa. Let's start with him on some of these coaching moves. Surprised, not surprised, and what do you think of the move, and who should Kentucky go after here?
Actually, a little surprised. It's just a little unexpected because his trajectory has been so back and forth because he was with the Rams. And then Kentucky, and then back with the Rams, and then back with Kentucky, and then now he's going back to the Buccaneers. He's a fine offensive coordinator. Him being a little bit pushed out of the Rams organization was kind of how it felt like the first time. I also don't think that their offense was anything sexy this year. Like, did you think that their offense was really – Kentucky was really –
They're trying to run the Rams / 49ers – outside zone
play action based.
It just doesn't work in college football.
No. So, I mean, from the NFL perspective, it is what it is. I think that Stoops, though, is in a really interesting position now because I think that there's a little bit more buy-in that he decided to stay, that he decided not to take Texas A&M.
Remember when he was in that interview and he said, I need more money? Well, they certainly are giving it to him.
Yeah, I'm just actually not even really sure what direction they go in because there's really not a lot of great options out there for them because this is so late in the process. But the one that always really comes to mind is Joe Moorhead. That's always the one that like immediately pops in my head because he's such a brilliant offensive mind. And maybe if you could convince Tommy Rees to come back down, that's always a nice fun possibility.
Would be such a vast overhaul of how you do things offensively if you get even a guy like Tommy Rees. I think Tommy Rees is even more innovative than, you know, what I think Kentucky wants to be. I'm not really surprised, you know, because look, it seems like Cohen doesn't want to be in college football. It kind of feels like he wants to be a play caller, but he's having to go places that, you know, maybe he doesn't want to be. Now, look, I'll give him this. I think that he can be a good play caller in the NFL. Just looks like that's where he wants to be. But good on him. You know what's one thing that's so awful about all of this is that, Joe, we're in February and these kinds of moves are being made. This so much hurts college athletics, okay, and college teams that, man, where is he going to go? Now, I will say this. You can go get who you want. You could spend the money. It's not as if that people are off the table. Now, there are certainly some guys that are off the table. But who would want to go to Kentucky would be the question. Now, you get into a place where, Joe, they got to make a hire, you know, relatively quickly. And I got to be honest, this hurts a guy like Brock Vandegrift. Okay? He's already.
Yeah, that's who I thought of immediately.
Right. He already comes into a system thinking that he'll be running this type of system. It's going to be interesting to see where they go here. I really don't know. I'm with you. I really don't know where they go, okay, here. But it's going to be interesting nevertheless. But you know who does look a play caller that looks like he wants out of his current situation, though, huh?
Wait, are you saying Grubb or Kelly?
I was going to say Chip Kelly. This one, Joe, a little bit not really surprises me. I thought all year, and even when we talked about UCLA and Chip Kelly, Joe, I felt like this year was a prove it year. Like, hey, this is the year that you got to make some things happen. I'm not really shocked by Chip Kelly wanting to head back to the NFL or taking interviews. This is the least shocking thing to me at all. Now, what's more shocking to me is, if you remember, there was a lot of sourcing that people thought that he was going to get fired at UCLA. Then he got retained, and now he's wanting NFL jobs or interviewing for NFL jobs. Looking like it's not going to happen, though. I mean, looks like Cliff Kingsbury might head to the Commanders. The Raiders made their offensive coordinator hire. Maybe Chip was just taking some interviews, trying to get some interest. It doesn't look like Chip's going anywhere, though, huh?
Yeah, I think the number of open opportunities is kind of really dwindled. There's really only like a couple that are still unconfirmed and on the table. But this whole thing is a cluster F. Like this whole thing, I feel so bad for UCLA fans, even if they even exist, that this is what they're dealing with, because the administration's too lazy to really think through if they wanted to fire him and to even really talk to him, apparently. Because he's now looking around for these opportunities. And you could tell, as I mentioned way earlier at the beginning of the show, his commitment to the football program this offseason was piss poor. They signed like 10 kids in the 2024 class. They didn't sign that many kids. And all the recruits that they brought in were like backups on other rosters. They didn't go bring anybody in that made the team a lot better. They've regressed significantly because they put in no effort. He didn't, and the whole coaching staff didn't. It felt like they lost D'Anthony Lynn, and they just fell apart. That was it. So they should have fired him. I was wrong. They should have fired him because he doesn't give a shit, and now he's just going to go back to this job, and he's got no incentive to try. Why are you raising your hand?
Remember when you argued me about me saying that you should let Chip Kelly go, and you said that it was a stupid move?
No, I said that they're realistically not going to hire anybody that is better than him. But I didn't know that he was going to go look for NFL offensive coordinator jobs. Bullshit, you wrote this down. Bullshit.
Oh, are you sure?
Read it. Just read it. Just read it.
Are you an idiot? There's no way that they should fire Chip Kelly.
I didn't call you an idiot. I don't believe you. There's no way.
I did my research. You know why? Because I said what has he done? And I told you, okay, you cannot convince me, all right? It's hard to win at UCLA. Joe, it's hard to win anywhere. He is in one of the more talent-rich areas in the country.
Oh, well, with academic restrictions.
Okay.
With academic restrictions.
You know what I think about your academic restrictions? Go milk a heifer, okay?
Wait.
There are so many other institutions on planet Earth that have academic restrictions. You know who you don't – you know? Oh, that's a nice shirt you're wearing right there. What's that say?
In Michigan's one of them too. But wait. But one of the best examples of the fact that they have no commitment to helping their athletics grow is their basketball program. Their basketball program historically was Alabama, was what Alabama was. And since John Wooden, when was that, the 80s? Since he was no longer the coach, they haven't done dick. They haven't done anything. And they have every capability with a hugely rich alumni base. All of the rich people in Los Angeles went to UCLA. All the ones that work big, important executive jobs went to UCLA. They don't care. It's impossible to win there. That was why I said that. They're not going to hire anybody. And then they're going to hire somebody just lame. And that guy's going to get fired. And then they're going to hire somebody else, and that guy's going to get fired. And it's just going to be every 4 years. Who do we think UCLA is going to hire? And you're going to ask me that. And I'm going to be like, I don't know. Maybe they'll hire the USC offensive coordinator. We're going to do that for the next 20 years. I don't blame them for looking elsewhere.
They should have just fired him.
I don't disagree on that part.
Look, it doesn't shock me. I mean, he's left college football for the NFL before, but here's one thing that I will tell you, okay, to combat what you were saying. You can say all of that, okay, but he doesn't like to go out and recruit. Yeah. And they sure as hell were giving him a lot of help when Dante Moore signed. So he got help from somewhere, okay?
Yeah.
And you and I both know that wasn't cheap, okay? So money had to come from somewhere. I got to be a little honest with you. I call a little bit of BS because you can't convince me that they have money to go pay for a top two quarterback in recruiting, okay, and that there's not money out there. Here's the truth, and it's always been the truth about Chip. He's a lazy recruiter.
Yeah.
He is a very lazy. He wants to call plays, draw stuff up on a napkin, and that's what he wants to do. You can do that in the NFL. You can't do that in college. I'm not taking anything away from Chip. He's one of the best offensive play callers we've ever seen, ever. He also, okay, is lazy as hell when it comes to recruiting. Yeah. So spare me, all right, that, oh, you can't find anybody better. Maybe from a play calling standpoint, you're probably right. They probably won't. But you can find a lot. You know who would go there and change it overnight?
Who?
He loves L.A. Call Ed Orgeron. See what happens.
Ed Orgeron's not going to UCLA. You of all people know that. Is the furthest cultural. I mean, actually, I would call DeAnton Lynn the D.C. that just left for USC. That's the first person I would call. DeAnton Lynn.
Because he can recruit. Look what he did. He literally recruited there. Who would have thought? Who would have thunk it?
I would absolutely go get that guy. I think that guy is a young, bright coach.
All right. We got Ryan Grubb here, too. Is Ryan Grubb the last potential coaching move? Yes. All right. So, Joe, it also has been reported that there is a chance that Ryan Grubb could leave the University of Alabama and head back to Seattle, but this time for the NFL – and being the Seahawks head coach, offensive coordinator, excuse me. Even though I feel like, Joe, people that are not Alabama fans want this to happen so badly. Yeah. I just don't know if this is going to happen.
I think it's possible. I think that I don't know the validity of the reporting on that or the likelihood, like you're talking about here, the likelihood of it. But, I mean, he's a bright offensive mind. How much of the influence was him or DeBoer? It was mostly DeBoer. But you're getting somebody who is directly related to and influential in their offensive production. There's a reason why Kalen DeBoer brought him with him in the first place. I don't think it hurts Alabama, actually, if this does happen. I don't. I really don't think that it's going to negatively impact their offensive recruiting or whoever they could go hire, because Kalen DeBoer has done a decent job with assistant hiring, and he's probably going to find somebody that's a couple rungs down the ladder of guys that he's worked with, and he'll be fine. I don't think it hurts him.
He's never been in the NFL before. I just don't know if a first-time head coach goes and gets a first-time play caller in the NFL. Historically,
does make sense.
Historically, like, let me give an example. Remember when Sean McVay went to the Rams and he hired Wade Phillips as his DC. Wade Phillips was old, literally was birthed before dirt was invented. Okay. He's still
alive.
Yeah. I mean, his social security number was like 1. All right.
76.
Holy shit. I just don't know how much sense it makes. Maybe it does. Maybe he just likes being in Seattle. Maybe he likes the Northwest. I don't know. I just don't think he's leaving Alabama. I really don't know if I can see it.
Well, if he gets offered it, I think it's the opposite of what you're saying. I think that it's more likely that McDonald goes with an offensive coordinator that's called plays before in the NFL or is an offensive quarterbacks coach, something like that. First time head coaches are going to get cooked. McDonald's a
defensive guy, right? Is he not?
He is.
Because he was the defensive coordinator with
the Ravens.
Baltimore. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me, Joe.
Like, how much is Alabama really going to come to the table to counter an offer made by the NFL? As deep as the pockets of an SEC team are, the NFL and the Seattle Seahawks have deeper pockets. Like, they could offer them a very competitive offer that would – it's a big reason why we just saw Jeff Hafley leave. His contract that he's going to get as the defensive coordinator as the Packers is going to pay him more as the – that will pay him more as a head coaching ACC job.
Alabama.
But that's a head coaching role is less money than what he's going to make as the DC at Green Bay, is my point.
What would be the fallout? Dude, Twitter would break. Okay,
I don't think the panic's necessary. Kalen DeBoer is the offensive guru that you were trying to get. You would have hired Ryan Grubb, although I know that they were trying to go get Ryan Grubb last offseason. They'd be a little pissy, I think.
No.
Justifiably.
You know that everybody and their mama would be trolling that move.
Yes.
Because they would want to see the downfall of Alabama. Everybody would troll it. Come on now. Okay. Before we get out of here, Jonathan Smith, first year expectations. You want to hit that before we get out of here?
Yep.
All right. Former Oregon State head coach Jonathan Smith is now the head coach of Michigan State. Was actually, Joe, if I'm not mistaken here, he was the first move in all of this. I mean, Michigan State had their guy locked in from the beginning. They hired Jonathan Smith to be their head coach. What's your first year expectations for Coach Smith?
As I was saying in the beginning of the show, their schedule is pretty favorable. They have a very favorable situation. Their four hardest games that they play is a bloodbath. They play Ohio State, they play Oregon, they play Michigan, and then they play Iowa. But the rest of their stretch, they're non-con. They play FAU, they play Louisiana, they play Boston College, Indiana.
It's ULL, but continue.
Oh, sorry. Same difference.
No, they hate being called ULL.
I know. I'm joking. Maryland is not as, you know, is a winnable opponent. Purdue, Illinois, and Rutgers are the other teams that they play, which are winnable for them. I think bowl eligibility is an expectation. I think that their first year should be comparable to that of what Hugh Freeze did in his first season at Auburn. A lot of bright spots, a lot of young players shining, a couple not upset victories, but games that you're not expected to win, that you come out and you play your ass off and you win football games. But realistically, 7-5 is probably where you're going to land. I think it's huge that he ended up pulling Aiden Childs. Aiden Childs is a phenomenally talented quarterback, and I'm excited to see what he does, likely in his first year as a starter. One name to watch, Jordan Hall, who is a young linebacker who did some pretty brilliant things for them last year. Former IMG kid, was really highly recruited, ended up at Michigan State. That kid is extremely talented. Pay attention to what he does in this new team with like a really good hands-on coaching staff.
Joe, if he goes 7-5 and makes them a bowl eligible team, I think it's a massive win.
I do too.
Okay. I mean, look, I wasn't going to go there. I mean, Michigan State has so many question marks. So many. And I don't think that. So look, for me, when you have a team, Joe, that is coming off a losing season, regardless if they have a new head coach or not, all right? The number one goal for me, and most coaches, Joe, they always do this. I was a part of a new coaching regime. Let's get bowl eligible. That's the only goal. Let's get better every day. Let's try to win 6 games. Let's be bowl eligible. Okay? That's got to be the only goal here. Like, I don't see any – look, I don't have a lot of expectations for Jonathan Smith. Okay? He's going to be in a conference. It's going to be really tough. I know that you said that – and you mentioned – that their schedule is very favorable. Good for them. Not going to stop that they don't have massive deficiencies in some areas. Massive deficiencies.
Yeah.
Okay. You talk about Childs coming over. Joe, he's got an offensive line that I don't know if they could block the Bad News Bears. It's a joke, but their offensive line is not good. Their defensive line is not good. Okay. Now, do they have some really good pieces at places? Sure. Not arguing with you on that. What are we really supposed to expect, though?
Well, here's my big thing with them, though, and why they went and hired Jonathan Smith. Oregon State was never really a hotbed for talent. DJU is the most talented guy that they had on their roster in terms of just recruiting level. He developed a lot of low-level players, and it's going to take time to like really develop and get a, you know, their own version of Talese Fuaga, who is going to be a top 10 pick this upcoming year. But I feel like he's that type of coach that's going to get more out of the roster. That's why I compared it to Hugh Freeze, because in the beginning of the year, I think the national landscape assumed that Hugh Freeze in Auburn was going to suck, because we looked at the roster, we looked at the recruiting that was done, and we were like, oh my God, this is a goddamn mess. This roster is terrible. We have to go watch Peyton Thorne, former Michigan State quarterback, play quarterback for them. This is going to be a joke. And they played way better than everyone thought. Everyone thought that they were going to be Vanderbilt and be that bad, or as bad as Mississippi State was this year. And they weren't. They were competitive enough to almost beat Alabama. I think that that is in their wheelhouse to be, because he's a good coach that gets more out of their team than many would expect.
Joe, I'm going to push back on something, because I'm going to start with the Ohio State game. I think they lose to Ohio State. I think they lose at Oregon. I'm going to be honest with you. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I think it's going to happen. I think they lose to Iowa. I think they lose at Michigan. Okay. Yeah. Maybe. Even though, Joe, I got to be real with you. Indiana, I'm going to save it for when I'm going to save it. Okay. I'm not going to say they'll lose that game. You're 1,000% sure that they go to Champaign and win? Because at that point, they might be on a 4-5-game losing streak. All right?
Nebraska started the season slow and recovered. I mean, like...
Okay. Nebraska didn't play... Didn't have to go to Oregon. Didn't have Iowa. Didn't have to go to Michigan. Didn't have Ohio State. Are you 1,000% sure that they beat Purdue?
That one's a toss-up. I think Illinois, Purdue, and Rutgers are toss-ups.
They could legitimately be on a 6-7-game losing streak.
But, okay.
They don't have the talent. Joe, if you look down that schedule, they don't have more talent than any of 95% of the teams that they play.
That's not true. They've got
I'm going to tell you something.
Their roster is just as good, if not better, than Indiana and Maryland's in conference. They're non-con. They're going to sweep. They're playing nobody.
Okay, well, I was thinking in conference. I'm not talking about Florida Atlantic or Louisiana, okay? But come on now.
They just need 3 conference wins to go 6-6 and to be bowl eligible.
I just read off the meat of their schedule. They might not get one.
Maryland, Indiana are winnable football games, and they just need to win 1 of 3 between.
Name the one that they'll get.
I think they can beat Illinois. I think Illinois is a beatable team. I don't think Illinois did much. They're losing their 2 best defensive tackles that I dick rode the whole offseason.
How are you going to betray Brett Bielema like that?
Well, he betrayed me when they underperformed and they played like dog shit this year. I look like moron saying they were a top 25 team.
I'm just one. Yeah, you. Okay.
Yeah.
Who told you they wouldn't be?
But who also said Rutgers was going to be good?
Well, me. True, but you're just a homer. They play Rutgers too, by the way. Just throwing this out there now. Are you going to betray your new favorite head coach when we talk about them this offseason?
Who? Kurt Cignetti? Is that who you're talking about?
No.
Who are you talking
about? Who's the head coach that retweeted you this week?
Oh, James Franklin. They don't play Penn State.
After all the shit that you talked to, well, you can't tell you something. Hold on. Can I tell you something that's so funny?
Yeah. Yes, I've talked so much shit. I mean, he doesn't know that. I don't think it was him who retweeted me, by the way. It was a social media intern.
Okay.
Good. I'd love for him to know that. I would love for him to know that I think that he's incapable of winning big games. I'd love for him to know that. He won't. Boy. Never will. I got balls. Hey, I don't care.
I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you.
I'm not gonna just immediately cower if I had to interact with him. I don't operate like that.
Okay. You sure were excited. James Franklin.
Oh, because it was a SEC or not a Big Ten coach quote tweeting me. That doesn't happen every day.
Okay. So I got him going 5-7.
You're a hater. Yeah, Jeff Lebby's going to go pull off 6 wins.
They have a better roster. Something just happened.
I knocked my mic out. It was
okay. They have a better roster.
No, they don't. They play in the SEC. They play in the SEC. They play in
a. It doesn't matter. Joe, they got 5 offensive linemen. Let me tell you this right now.
No.
Mississippi State's got 5 offensive linemen that are SEC starting offensive linemen.
There's maybe they're slightly better. I don't think it's like this team, Mississippi State, so much better than Michigan State. I disagree with that.
They would clap the dog cheeks, literally.
It'd be a close game.
No, it wouldn't.
They don't even have a quarterback.
Who?
Mississippi State. Who's their quarterback?
They don't have, Michigan State doesn't have either lines of scrimmage that are worth a shit.
Jeff they have Lebby, a couple I'm bodies. Worried, they'll be fine.
I'm not worried about quarterback with Jeff Lebby.
They got I'm a couple bodies.
Okay. Whatever. Yeah, they got bodies. Warm bodies. But you got to have warm bodies. All right.
Say something positive about a non-SEC team once. I dare you.
Joe, you're acting like
I'm just giving you shit. I'm just giving you shit.
3-9. I'm supposed to magically think that they're just going to be better because Jonathan Smith's there.
Mississippi State was terrible last year.
They Jeff Lebby's never been a head coach. Bowl game. Their head coach died.
Okay. Obviously, that's a difficult
Joe, they're at the 2-yard line about to beat an 11-win team. Michigan State got throttled by everybody.
Yeah, because they're whatever. I don't agree. I don't think that either team is one's on better footing than the other.
Okay.
I think one's got a more proven coach.
I mean, Never mind.
Don't do it.
All right. We will be back on Monday, kind of like how Mel Tucker's on the back of so many other. Okay. All right. We'll see y'all on Monday. Y'all have a good night. Good show there, Mr. Joe. We'll see y'all. Mel Tucker, you dog. Later, guys.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.